Kelly Krug is a nationally recognized trans activist who will speak at the Grand Marais Public Library this Saturday at 3 p.m. Her topic will be Living as Other in America, How to Bridge Our Divides. Ellie is a lawyer, writer, and trainer, and she joins us now by the phone. Welcome to the Roadhouse, Ellie Krug.
Hey, thanks, Dave. I'm really thrilled to be on the show. Thank you.
Well, you are a nationally recognized trans activist, advocate, and you transitioned genders in 2009. And I think that's where the story should begin here. If you could just give us your brief background, Ellie, on transitioning from male to female.
Sure. Well, so in 2009, I was a civil trial lawyer in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. I, at that point, had been practicing law for almost 30 years. And I ended up becoming the first Iowa lawyer to transition on the job, so to speak. And within 2 months of transitioning, I tried a jury case as me, Ellie Krug, and in Cedar Rapids, of all places. And I thought that, and I won that case and thought that my law firm would survive. It was my own law firm. I employed a number of people, another lawyer. And everybody was rooting for me to win that case, which I did, but rooting for the law firm to make it. Unfortunately, I represented some non-LGBTQ-friendly industries like railroads and trucking companies, and my law firm ultimately didn't survive. So I moved, I closed my firm in an orderly fashion, moved here to the Twin Cities to start all over again where no one knew me. And since then, I've written a memoir, I've founded a legal nonprofit, and now, within the last year and a half, I created a company to go out and train and speak on human inclusivity, a little bit on what it means to be transgender, but a lot about how to just be welcoming to anyone who is different from us. And just about everybody is different from us, if you want to make it that way.
Wow, Ellie, so you really went from polar opposite ends of the spectrum of privileged white male attorney, successful, to now on in the margin, on the exclusivity bus, as it were. And how does that work? How does that look? How long did it take you personally to digest that?
Well, I'm still digesting it. I think that I'll be digesting it for the rest of my life. But, you know, and I'm still white, so that didn't change. So I still have a lot of privilege compared to many other transgender people. But, yes, it's been quite an adjustment. And my perspective about the world has changed greatly. When I was a male-presenting human with a lot of power and money, you know, I only saw other people like me, even though around me there were people of color and people from marginalized communities in Cedar Rapids quite a bit. I didn't see those folks. Now over here on this side of the gender fence, you know, now that I'm female, so that's a marginalized group here in society, unfortunately, and trans, we all can agree, is marginalized. You know, I only see people of color and people from marginalized groups now. And I like it over here a great deal because it's allowed my empathetic heart to blossom and given me the opportunity to understand our commonalities far greater than when I presented as a man. And it's enriched me, you know. I mean, yes, there have been challenges and, you know, financial as well as romantically. I'm quite single because my appearance does not match my voice. Your listeners right now are hearing what sounds like a man, a dude. And I can assure you I'm not gorgeous, but I'm fairly attractive as a, you know, 61-year-old blonde woman.
Huh. Yes, indeed. Folks will be in the near term have that chance to meet you, Ellie. You're coming to town this Saturday. So tomorrow, the public
I'm very
library.
Much looking forward to it. Yes,
3 p.m. We can put the face to the voice, and you're right; it doesn't match at all. Is that something that'll change? Are you transitioning in the voice department as well?
Well, you know, there. I mean, radically, there's some surgery I could have on my voice, but there are no guarantees about that. And there's, I believe it or not, I have had speech therapy, and my voice is actually higher pitched than what it was when I was a man. But no. And what I've had many people tell me is that, you know, Ellie, we love your voice. And that is who you are. And don't change it.
That's right.
You know, and, you know, I tell people, you know, I am, you know, the ugly cousin for Kathleen Turner.
Oh, Ellie, no way. And now, so back to this idea of self-love and worth. Is that part of the struggle when you were, you know, living as a man? Was there just a real identity crisis with the body?
You know, that is just a really great question. And the answer is yes. So for the longest time, I did what many people on the LGBTQ alphabet do, is I thought I could choose. I thought that if I worked hard enough, or if I had the right therapist or the right amount of therapy or eventually the right amount of alcohol, I thought that I could stay a man. Because when I lived as a man, I had the best that anybody could ever want. I mean, I had a beautiful wife. We were together for 32 years before it fell apart. You know, I had a house in the best neighborhood, country club membership, 3 cars and a 4-car garage, you know, money, as we've already talked about, and power and prestige in the community in Cedar Rapids. And I knew that if I ever transitioned from male to female, I would lose everything I just listed for you. And so I tried really, really hard to stay a man. But what I ended up doing was really hating myself, despising myself because I wouldn't allow myself to be me. And I was also very angry at the world, and that made me a very difficult person to deal with. I mean, I could not keep employees at my law firm because I was just too much of a perfectionist with them. And I mean, I've always been a kind person and gentle, you know, once you got past the hard exterior. But now, over on this side of the gender fence, where I can finally be me, it turns out I'm like this really gentle person, and I'm not this hard, aggressive lawyer that I was when I presented as a man. And I love myself a whole lot more now than I did when I was fighting myself to stay male. Very lucky. I'm very, very lucky that I got here. Not everyone gets to where I am. I am very aware of that.
Well, and we are lucky that you are so eloquent and so visible now in your work. You're a trainer and an advocate for trans and inclusivity issues, diversity workshops you present to corporations. Give us an idea of your current lineup of work.
Oh, my goodness. So within the month of June, I've presented to a law firm in Silicon Valley, a legal employer in San Francisco, a group of legal professionals in Seattle. Next week, I'm going to go to New York City to speak to a law firm. I've presented to a major manufacturer here in the Twin Cities this month, presented to the Department of Human Services, to Dakota County, to Ramsey County is coming up next week, and I've been working with a nonprofit to help them develop an inclusivity plan for their 200 employees, and it's a plan that's very comprehensive, going from A to Z. That's just in June.
Wow.
And
let's not forget, you're coming to Grand Marais tomorrow, too. I have to keep plugging the appearance at the Grand Marais Public Library tomorrow at 3 p.m.
Oh, I would absolutely love, it's Cook County, right?
That's
in
right.
Grand Marais. I would love to meet people from Cook County, and I would love to have people come out. I mean, I have written a memoir, Getting to Ellen, a memoir about love, honesty, and gender change. I will have copies of my book if people are interested in buying the book from me directly, or it's available on Kindle, Amazon, or Nook. But most of all, I would love for people to come out. I have a message about how it is possible for us to get past our divides, this horrible separation between folks on the basis of politics or on the basis of race or religion or LGBTQ status. I actually believe we can get past all of that. And I'd love to be able to share that message with folks in Cook County.
That's taking place at 3 p.m. tomorrow, Saturday, at the Grand Marais Public Library, part of several events scheduled to take place in the second annual Grand Marais Gay Pride celebration. A march is planned at 11, beginning at the Congregational Church, a picnic in the church parking lot to follow, and then Ellie's show at 3 p.m. at the Grand Marais Library. Sort of a roundtable discussion, Ellie. Will there be a Q&A and personal experiences shared?
Absolutely. I'm happy to answer any questions that people have, and if they don't want to ask questions in a large crowd, I will stick around and people can talk to me privately. Absolutely.
We're speaking with Ellie Krug, a nationally recognized trans activist, and she's appearing tomorrow at the Grand Marais Public Library. Very special occasion, 3 p.m. Your chance to catch up with a real rock star in the world of inclusivity and diversity and successful transitioning. Is there such a term, Ellie? Are you over the hump now? Is everything getting better and easier? Where's the end of this road?
Oh, and well, first of all, thanks for the rock star reference. I really appreciate it. That'll be the only time it's ever said in my life. You know, I am over the hump in a lot of ways. I'm good with Ellie Krug. I'm sober. I would not have been able to do that if I was still fighting myself over my gender identity. The only sadness, the only loss is that I did lose my soulmate. You know, I did. I lost Lydia, as I said, after 32 years. And I'm a lover, and it's been very hard to develop a relationship I've had small, short relationships since I transitioned, but it's been very difficult because I know what I want. I'm not going to settle. And then there are people that this is very difficult for, the fact that my voice doesn't match my appearance or just my history. And, you know, I'm a very public person. All you have to do is Google my name, Ellie Krug, and you'll find out that, you know, there's a history with me. And I miss that. I miss having somebody to love and for somebody to love me. But I know I'm not alone. I mean, that's the case with a lot of people who aren't transgender. A lot of people listening on the radio right now are just said, yep.
That is the human condition, you're right.
Yep, they know the feeling as well. Yep.
Well, I think at the end of the day, we're all alone, but it's nice to have friends and family along for the ride. And
and in that regard, I'm very lucky. I do have friends and family.
You've had quite a ride, Ellie. You know, I'm a subscriber to Vanity Fair. I'll never forget the Caitlyn Jenner edition, the cover.
Yep.
Talk about that moment and sort of what it's meant to be trans in the last few years.
So Caitlyn Jenner, say what you will about her, and if this was a different show, I would tell you what I think. But one thing that Caitlyn Jenner did is she changed the landscape. She changed the conversation as it related to transgender people. She brought us out of the closet, out of the shadows, into the limelight. And in that regard, I am eternally grateful for Caitlyn Jenner. She really has done that, and she has made that conversation far easier for people to have. And in the process of her coming out, she's given other people who were afraid, who were in the closet, given them the confidence to go forward and live their lives authentically. And, I do a lot of speaking across the country. I mean, I'm headed towards maybe 150 talks or trainings this year alone. And very, very often, even when my training, I have a human inclusivity training, gray area thinking, it's not at all about transgender people, but people know that I'm transgender. Very often, people will come up to me afterwards and tell me that, you know, their son or their daughter or their niece or their nephew, or sometimes, you know, my husband or my ex-wife have transitioned genders. There are far more of us out there than anyone knows. There are.
We're speaking with Ellie Krug. She's appearing tomorrow at the Grand Marais Public Library, 3 p.m. She's been sharing a story about transitioning from male to female, and your chance to see her tomorrow at the library, not to be missed, 3 p.m. She'll be presenting Living as Other in America, How to Bridge Our Divides. And any parting words of wisdom for us, Ellie? Any universal truths you'd like to share?
Sure. There is one universal truth I would love to share, and that is this. I firmly believe that 99% of all humans have empathetic hearts. I do. We all care for other people. The problem is we're just scared to death about allowing our empathetic hearts to show up. And we do the things that humans do, which is we retreat in fear, of other. And I'm here to report that once you allow your empathetic heart to open, your ability to get to know each, to get to know people who are different, who are at least scary to you. Once you allow your heart to open, you say, okay, I'm willing to get to know this person, meet them. Life changes and it can be very enriching. The message I will come and share tomorrow at the public library at 3:00.
I got it, Ellie. Open your heart. It's worth it. And thank you so much for your time.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you, Dave. Thanks for the opportunity to be on the show.